Both the House of Representatives and the United States Senate Republican budget measures aim to reduce the federal deficit. To help do that, both of their plans include provisions that will increase your pension contributions and take other potential effect on your pay and benefits, your wallet. Jessica Clement is legislative director at the National Active and Retired Federal Employees Association. And I imagine that your members, as they found out about these things, and I'm looking at how you educated them about them, probably were not really happy about them, huh, Jesse?
Yeah, thanks, Francis, for having me. We did a lot of outreach to the NARF members in advance of the budget votes last week. And let me tell you, I mean, we all expect an increase in retirement contributions to be in the budget. It always has been for the last several years. We figured it would be the same this year. We were not expecting the onslaught that we got, particularly from the House budget, new House Budget Committee Chairman Tom Price. And the NARF members reacted very quickly and soundly to express their disappointment to their members of Congress.
Were there some elements of these? You've got nine points on here that you are letting your members know about. Increase in retirement contributions, 10% reduction of the workforce through attrition, decrease of the rate of return on the G fund and the TSP, increasing some health insurance premiums, FEHBP premium increases, proposing elimination of FERS, the entire FERS, eliminating the annuity supplement, increasing postal workers' share of FEHBP premiums. I mean, it's a sad laundry list for the average federal worker. Is there one thing more than the others that got people aggravated, or is it just kind of the whole package of them put together that got people up in arms?
I mean, how do you even pick one, right?
That's why I'm asking.
So for me, and maybe it's because, you know, I spent some time on the Hill, so I'm in fact a participant of the TSP, but it's really the TSP G fund that really gets me more than anything else. And so what it proposes is the rate of return on the G fund would be tied to a different measure. That measure, then, the rate of return would be far less than inflation. So you're actually losing money then by investing in the G fund. So this bothers me not just because it's a hit to, you know, your retirement security, which in and of itself is enough to be upset about. But what bothers me the most is that all the talk coming from the people proposing these changes is that we need to get rid of FERS, the government needs to go to a defined contribution retirement plan and get rid of the defined benefit plan. At the same time, you're decreasing the benefits to the defined contribution plan. If this were to happen, if it were all told, this actually goes through. Essentially, it wouldn't actually save any money because everyone would pull their money out of the G fund.
All right, so here's the parallel that I see, and if there's an error in my logic, I'm happy to have you point it out to me, okay? In the 401k plan that I participate in here, I have I set mine up on purpose to be very similar to the funds that are offered in the G fund. So I have what's in the equivalent of the C fund. We have a large number of that. And then we have a little bit of what would be equivalent to the S fund.
Okay.
And then we have a little bit that's in essentially a bond fund that's, I guess it's similar to the F more than the G fund.
Okay.
But what Congressman Price said is what has borne itself out in the experiences that we've had in our portfolio over the years. And this is what the House Budget Committee report said. Securities within the G fund aren't subject to risk of default. Payment of principal and interest is guaranteed by the government, yet the interest rate paid is equivalent to a long-term bond. As a result, those who participate in the G are rewarded with a long-term rate on what is essentially a short-term security. So it seems to me that his logic makes sense. I understand why folks would go ballistic over it, because that's not how it's worked before, and it's potentially being changed. But I wonder whether people are more upset over the fact that it's being changed, or whether there's some mistake in the logic and reasoning behind it that's got it put in there in the first place.
I have an explanation for this, and I'm trying to make sure that I articulate it to you. I think the point of the G fund was to, you know, provide some retirement security, right? We all saw what happened in the late 2000s with, you know, 401k across the country. And the impact that this provision has would have is not just on the G fund itself, but it also has huge implications for the L fund, because as you get closer to your retirement date and your L fund tied to your retirement date, those investments get less risky, right? Because you're getting closer to needing that money.
Mm-hmm.
So not only would all the TSP participants probably divest from the G fund, the L fund itself wouldn't invest in the G fund either. So it's not just for those who maybe should have too much of their money in the G fund, maybe shouldn't have all the money in the G fund, but for those who need that retirement security as they get closer to retirement, this has huge implications for them as well. The Thrift Board had said after this provision came out, which I think took them a little by surprise, as it did most of us, that they wouldn't actually get any savings. I mean, the House budget said this would save $32 billion. Not going to get any of that savings because you're just not going to invest in the G fund.
I guess what I'm getting at by laying my parallel out there, we only have about a minute or so left. I apologize for that. But I guess what I'm getting at is, even if one doesn't agree with where the budget report is coming from, I think one can understand why the Republicans in Congress want to try to make it similar to what people in the private sector are experiencing. I'm not suggesting that makes it a good or bad idea. I'm just saying maybe it helps us understand why it exists.
Well, let's say that's the case.
Okay.
Let's say that's the argument. And I don't know about you, but I'm really tired of members of Congress using, quote, what's done in the private sector to use that government should do the same. Like, when did we get to this race to the bottom mentality? Like, I believe strongly that the federal government should be the leader in paying benefits. Maybe not the highest pay, maybe not the greatest benefits. The federal government should be setting an example for private companies in this country, not being like, oh, well, you guys are doing this and it's decreasing workers' benefits, so we'll do the same.
20 seconds, Jess.
I think you're going to be seeing an op-ed from NARF on this.